All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Samech Beis. We are picking up 62. We are picking up on Samech Aleph Amud Beis 61b. And we are picking up... let's actually pick up Amar of Achabreid Rav Yeva. So it's the second to last of the shortest line. We began this yesterday, but let's just begin from that point again today with a little bit about Shatnez, which we started our share this morning. Is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors, by Josh and Becker Friedman, the Ili Nishmas, Josh's father, Yisrael Yehuda ben Avchaim Rafael, and by Simeon Malka Esterson, the Ili Nishmas, Nishmos, their parents, Yitzchok Le ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch, and Hinda Bas Hanech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nishmas will have an Aliyah, and the families in the Chama. Now, with that, let us begin. Amar Rav Acha Breid Rav Yeva, Mishmei Demar Zutra. Hai Man Derami Chuta, the Kisna, the Glima de Amra. If a person goes ahead and inserts a linen thread into a woolen cloak, vinaske, and he begins to pull it out, velo yada inosik ilo nosik, but he's ultimately he's not clear whether or not the thread was fully removed. Shapir dami, nevertheless, the garment is okay. What's the reason? My taima, midaraisa shatnis ksiv, because midaraisa, the Torah calls it shatnis, and shatnis is a contraction. Achi Heshua Tavi Vinuz. Until ultimately, again, it is only considered shatnez if we'll call it the linen thread is smoothed, spun, and woven, meaning it must be fully embedded in the baguette in order for it to be shatnez. But in a case like this, says Mar Zutra, where it's clear that the thread itself is not fully embedded, rather it's just inserted. Baharaya, what's the proof to that? That it could be easily removed. Your shaila just is, did you fully remove it or not? So essentially, Mar Zutra says at most this is shatnez midrabbanan, v'rabbanan hu. The gazrube, ultimately it's the rabbanan who goes around this case. V'chevid lo yad inaske shari. And therefore, again, essentially what Mar Zutra says is we have a safek dirabbanan. And because we have a safek dirabbanan, again, a safek dirabbanan, it will be lukula. Maskev l'rabashi. Ravashi says, Eimar, O Shua, O No, O No, O Tavi, O Nos. Why don't we say that instead of requiring all three, maybe it's one of the three? In other words, that the thread can either be smooth, spun, or woven. The Gemara says, this is Rav Ashi just posing another opinion. Right? So Rav Ashi is saying that perhaps the Pasuk doesn't require that you have all three, but the Pasuk only requires that you have one. But nevertheless, the Gemara says the halacha follows Mar Zutra, namely, in order for the garment to be shatnez, the thread itself must be smoothed, spun, and woven. Why? Because since the Torah espouses all of this in one lashon, meaning shatnez in one lashon, therefore the idea being that all of these processes must be present. So therefore, again, if the thread is just simply inserted, that's not shatnez. Only if it is fully embedded in the beged does it become shatnez. Tan Rabbanan, beged savua mitamim yishum kasem. So we're actually going to discuss this more in our next Mishnah as well. A colored garment becomes tamei because of a kesem. So we'll say, which is another way of saying that even colored garments are subject to the halachos of ksamim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Nassim bar Yosef Omer, Eino etam mishum kesem. Rabbi Nassim and Yosef says, no, it is not tamei because of kesem. What's the reason? Shlo tiknu bigdei tzivonin li'isha ala lahakil al kismayin. So we'll say a little translation over here is because the rabbis only instituted colored garments in order to be lenient with women regarding their staining. So the Gemara says, my taknenu, what does that mean they instituted? Ela shlo hutshu bigdei tzivonin li'isha ala lahakil al kismayin. Rather, what it means is that the rabbis only permitted the use of colored garments to be makel, ultimately, again, to be lenient regarding the halachos of ksamim. So they were matir colored garments. What does that mean? Nichlal da asiri? Is that, could we infer from that colored garments at some point in time were asir? This is actually quite incredible. Teaching verse is in. Yes, in fact, at one point in time, colored garments were asir. What does that mean? This nan. Bepumos shal aspanyus. Gazru ala, so we'll say this is Bepomo Shal Aspanius, means the siege of Vespasian. So remember again, Vespasian was the general who laid siege to Yerushalayim. This was before the Churban Bayis Sheni. Remember again, Vespasian is one who has the rendezvous with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after he snuck out of the city, right, after feigning his own death, Vespasian then becomes emperor. So the Gemara is talking about over here, when Vespasian, before Vespasian was emperor, they called it the Siege of Vespasian. So we'll say, as a result of that siege and the subsequent Churban, Gazru, Chazal Asr, the number of things. Gazru Alataras Chassanim, they went ahead and they outlawed the use of the crown of Chassan. Apparently, again, Chassanim used to wear some type of wreath or some type of crown as a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the siege of Vespasian. So Chazal legislated that Chassanim should not wear this wreath. Va'al ha'irus, we'll say irus is a type of instrument. So these are all different takanos that they made as a result of the Churban. Bikshu ligzor al-bigdei tzivonin. They also wanted to go ahead and make a gzera prohibiting women from wearing colored garments. And I will say this would have been out of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. Yet, the Gemara says, Amri ha'adifa kedei lahakil al kismayin. And I will say, amazingly enough, they refrained from making this gzera. Why? Because Chazal said it is important for women to have colored garments regarding ksamim, regarding staining. So I will say, so that's what it means, is they wanted to asr it, but then they decide that it's more important to allow women to wear colored garments in order, ultimately, again, that you could be make with ksamim. And I will say, we know that halacha l'maisa, this is one of the most important halachas of hilchos ksamim, that when a woman is not anita, the halacha encourages her to wear colored undergarments. This way, again, any staining that is found on a colored garment is not halachically problematic. In other words, in order for a kesem to be problematic, it must appear on a white garment. Therefore, the easiest way to avoid any problems of ksamim is for a woman to wear colored undergarments when she's not anida. That's this halacha. And therefore, we'll say that's what it means, that they were matir, so to speak, colored garments. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, fascinating topic. Shiva samanim ma'avir ala kesem. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Ma'avir ala kesem, shein hadam batel ad shi'aviru kulan alav. So we'll say, actually quite fascinating. See, let's analyze this for just a moment. So remember again, I go ahead and there's a garment that has a kesem on it. So what's the halacha? That garment becomes tameh, and we know again that ultimately what occurs, that garment has to be taken to the mikvah. What the Mishnah is introducing me now to is this concept that even if the garment is taken to the mikvah, it does not become tahar unless the kesem is first batal. Like, you have to first be mevatal the kesem in the beged. So that's what Rashi says, Shein Adam Batal. So therefore, again, this Mishnah over here is talking about how do you make the dam batal in the beged. So says the Mishnah, Shiva Samanim Ma'avir Ala Kesem. So there are seven different, so Samanim literally means like herbs, but really what it means is cleaning agents, right? There are seven different cleaning agents that ultimately, again, you're going to go ahead and pass over a Kesem. What are they? So we'll list them and then we'll define them in the Gemara. Rok Tafel. So we'll see, literally this means raw saliva. We'll see exactly what that means in just a bit. May greasin. So we'll say, remember again, greasin are split beans. We'll see what that means as well. May raglayim, urine. Neser uboris, tap of samech beis. Kamunya v'ashleg. So as I said, again, we'll define all of these things in the Gemara. So these are the seven different cleaning agents that you have to go ahead and pass over. Because now, I understand what happens over here. So when you pass this over a beged, what is supposed to happen? Ultimately, again, the kesem is removed. Now, what we're going to see is something different. What this also does is tells you as follows. These herbs, these samanim, will remove blood. They will not remove dye. So interestingly enough, if you do this process to a beged, and the stain still removes, something else happens, which is you find out that what? This is actually not blood. It's actually not blood, it's a dye. If it comes out, or we'll see, even if it's lessened and it's you, then ultimately, again, that's indicative that it's blood. So the idea would be, if you know that it's a kesem, but I just want to point out, the point of this is not to determine whether it's a kesem or not. It happens to be we're dealing with a kesem, or let's say you do know it's a kesem. So the Mishnah is telling me that immersion of the beged in the mikvah is not enough. Rather, the kesem itself must first become batal. How do you make it batal? Through this process. Just as a side point, if the kesem doesn't come out, it just turns out that what? That again, you were mistaken and this wasn't a kesem at all. So the Gemara goes on, Hit bidluv asal gabav taros. So we'll say, so what happens if you skip the cleaning process, right? And instead, what did you do? You immersed the beged in the mikvah before going ahead and doing this whole cleaning process. And then afterwards, ha'evir alav shiva samamonim v'lo avar. So listen to this. So in this case over here, you broke the law. What did you do? You have a beged with a kesem. You failed to go ahead and we'll just call it clean it, right? Or launder it. You didn't clean it in a prescribed way. Then what did you do? You used it as a tablecloth to go ahead and eat taras on top of it. Then what happened? Okay, whatever. You know, right? You put over a plastic, right? So I'll say, so remember, there's the kesem on the baguette. You took it to the mikvah. You did not clean it in the prescribed fashion. You ate taras on it. Then what happens? Then you clean it in the prescribed fashion. And it turns out that what? The stain doesn't come out. If the stain doesn't come out, what does that show you? That it's not blood to begin with, right? That it's some type of dye. In which case, again, Shalom al Yisrael, obviously any of the taras that came in contact with it are going to be fine. And not only that, you don't have to immerse it again, obviously. However, what happens if avar oshadia, we'll say what happens, however, if again, in the same process, I have the kesem on the beged, I take it to the mikvah, I use it as a tablecloth for taras, I then go ahead and subsequently clean it according to the prescribed fashion over here, the stain goes away or is significantly weakened in its appearance, which indicates that what? That what? That it's blood. Then what's the problem? So the Gemara says, Hareze kesem, vataras tameos. Therefore, obviously, any taras that you eat on top of that tablecloth are going to be tameos, vitzarch lahatpila. And you have to take the garment to the mikvah again. Good. Now let's define our terms. Ezehu rok tafel. We'll say, what is raw saliva? Koshalo tam klum. We'll say that's saliva from a person who did not eat anything that day. Right? So saliva that did not eat anything that day. Megrisin. So what does it mean? That literally, again, the water from split beans. Liisas grisin shall pull chalukas nefesh. So we'll say what it means is split beans that are taken out from their shell, that ultimately, again, are chewed. So the whole split bean concoction over here is a split bean, a piece apart from the shell, together with saliva. Take a look at Rashi. Le'isas grisin shalpul chalukas nefesh, shenechla ka'ochal min haklipa, lo eses legrisas apulu ma'aviru ala kesem. So there, it's almost like you're making a little bit of like a paste, right? The paste is with the split piece, together with the saliva, and that's better. But I just want to point out, it's very interesting to see how the, obviously I will say this is not like some kind of hocus pocus. What is this? This is Talmudic detergent. So it's really quite fascinating just to see how in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, he created a world where there are natural entities here that do the process. You know, so today we're quote unquote more advanced. So we have like concoctions for this, but it is incredible. Marabu Maasech Hashem, what you could do with a little bit of saliva and split peas, you know, it's quite remarkable. Meiraglaim Sheikh Mitsu. So I'll say, so ultimately again, so there's urine, but not just any type of urine, fermented urine. Okay, we'll talk about that as well. Vitzarach lekaskes shalosh pamim l'chol echad ve'echad. And Rav Osei, what do you have to do? You have to rub the garment with each of the... Now, Rav Osei, I just want to point out, this is not made into a mixture. Right? It's not made into one big mixture. You're cleaning the garment with each of these items independently. And the Mishnah says, you have to rub the garment with each of these items independently three times. Shalosh pam l'chol echad ve'echad. So we'll say, so not only are the items important, but the order is important. What happened if you used these items, shalok isidron, not in the right order, or oshehevir shiva saman and keachos, or Rabbi say, if you took all of the ingredients over here, mixed them all together, and applied them to the garment at once, loasa velo klum. Such a process is meaningless. And we'll say, obviously, what it means is it would have to be repeated. So, Tana, so we'll say, now we're going to give just a couple of definitions over here. So, correct. So Tana, Neser, what is Neser? And I'm sorry, Tana, Neser Alexandris, velo Neser Antipris. So we'll say with this additive called Neser, which the Gemara is not defining, nor does the Mishnah define, it's telling you a particular type of Neser. Alexandrian Neser and not Antipras Neser. Okay? Boris. What's Boris? Amrav Yehuda. Ze Ohala. So, interesting, Rabbi Yehuda says, what's boris? Alo. Ay, va'atanya, ha-boris va-ohel. But yet, again, Abba says, in another braisa, we have boris and ohel, right, reckoned separately, which tells me that boris is not alo. Ela, my boris, rather, what's boris? Kabrisa. Rashi says, over kabrisa is gafris, sulfur. Sulfur. So the Gemara says, really? Or mini? Hosifa alein halavitzin v'halaunin v'haboros v'haohel. So we'll say, so here, the Bryce is talking about, if you look at Rashi, he says, hosifa alein le'inyan shvius. The Bryce over here is adding on other items which are subject to the laws of Shemitah. And what else did we include in the laws of Shemitah? Boris and ohel. So the Gemara says, remember, how do we just define boris? Boris is sulfur. Vi'i boris kabrisa. But if you're going to tell me that boris is sulfur, mi isle shvius, is sulfur subject to the halachos of Shemitah? After all, v'hatnan, zaklal, kol sheyesh lo ikar, yesh lo shvius. We'll say whatever has a root, whatever grows from the ground and has a root, is subject to the halachos of Shemitah. V'chol she'ein lo ikar, ein lo shvius. And of course, whatever doesn't have a root is not subject to the halachos of Shemitah. Sulfur is a mineral, right? Sulfur is not a plant. So that it doesn't grow from the ground, doesn't go ahead and doesn't have a root. So therefore, again, why would it be subject to the halachos of Shemitah? Elamai boris. Well, so let's go back. So what is boris? Oh, Allah. It's aloe. Aye, but we said before, v'hatanya, ha-boris va'ohel, but we said before in the Braisa, that the Braisa quotes both boris and ohel, indicating to us what? That boris and ohel are two separate things. Trei gavni ohel. Apparently, again, Abba say two different types of aloe in the aloe family. There's ohel aloe, and there's boris aloe. Okay, kamunya. What's kamunya? Am Rav Yehuda shluf dutz. We'll say it's the herb known as shluf dutz. Sounds Yiddish, right? Right again. Shlof dot. So the Gemara says, "Va'ashleg." Okay, va'ashleg. Amr Shmuel shall siru lenechusa yama. So Shmuel said, "You know, I asked the sailors. Nechusa yama means those who go out to sea. I asked those who go out to sea about ultimately again what this ashleg is. Va'amru ashlaga shme. Its name is actually ashlaga. V'mishtachach beni nakve maginisa. And actually, it could only be found in the crevices of pearls." Quite interesting. On the crevices of pearls, umafgilei beramtza de parzala, and you can only remove it with a very sharp instrument. Good. Hit bilo va'asa. So I'll say, remember again. So the Mishnah then goes on to talk about these different cases where what? Where I'm going ahead and immersing it in the mikvah, and then what happens? We'll say. So in this case over here, I failed to launder the garment with all of the prescribed, we call it detergents, right? And instead, what did I do? I put it in the mikvah, I spread it out as a tablecloth, I eat my taras on it, and then I subsequently go ahead and subject it to this cleaning process. So one of two scenarios. In scenario one, where the stain doesn't change, what does that tell me? Right? It's dye, right? It's dye, it's not dam. In which case, again, everything is fine. No need to put in the mikvah again. If, however, again, once I subject it to the cleaning process, it goes away or significantly fades, then what? That's indicative that it's dam. In which case, again, I must immerse it again now, and any of the taras that came in contact with that will now be tameh. So says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan. Heavier, I love Shiva Samamanim, velo avar. So we'll say, ultimately, what happens if a person went ahead and put all of these seven detergents on top of it and nothing happened to it? But, Safun v'avar. Then we'll say, what happened? So Rashi points out over here, Safun is Shavutz bala. So apparently, Safun is another type of cleaning agent. So we'll say, let's say the seven herbs, the seven detergents listed in the Mishnah did not work. But the tzafun ultimately, again, does work. In other words, and the stain goes away. So what's the halacha? Taros of Timaeus. Right? Ultimately, again, the taros are still Timaeus. So again, just to understand what's happening in this case over here. In this case, I went ahead and I laundered the garment with the seven detergents. Nothing came out. I laundered it with tzafun. It came out. I then put taras on top of that garment. Put in the makeup, then put taras on top of that garment. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I didn't put it in the mikveh. And then, so what happened over here? So the Gemara says, and then you put, I'm sorry, I did put it in the mikveh, then I put the taras on top of it. So the stain came out. So the mission, the Gemara nevertheless says, it doesn't, sorry, let me say this once more. I have a garment with a kasem. I subjected to the 7 samamonim, and ultimately, again, nothing came out. Nothing came out. They both say, if nothing comes out, that sounds like what?
Die.
It sounds like die. Safon, then I put it in, and it came out. Ultimately, again, what does that say? V'lo avar, safon v'avar, taros of tmeos. The taros are still tamei. Why? Because safon tseva nami maver. Because safon, Abosai, apparently is so powerful that not only does it remove blood, but it also removes dye. Ela, hevir alav shisha samimanim. Listen to this case. The Gemara says that. This is really because you need to discuss. What happens if you used 6 of the detergents? Velo avar. And the stain did not come out. Hevir alav tsafon. You went ahead and then what? Put tsafon on top of it. V'avar. And it came out. So we'll say, what's talacha? Taros of tmeos. The taros that you, so when we say taros of tmeos, mean, remember again, this is if taros came in contact with the garment, the taros will be tmeos. Why? Shem hevir shvi'i mitrila shema avar. Because perhaps had you done the 7th detergent from the beginning, perhaps the stain would have come out. Tanya idach another braisa. Hevir alav shvi'i saman avar lo avar. If you laundered the garment with the 7 detergents and the stain did not come out, shenan v'avar, you did it again. You did it again. And this time the stain came out. Taros of tahoros. Ultimately, again, the taros will be tar. So I'll say, so in this case over here, I'm doing something very interesting. I'm going ahead and laundering the garment twice. The first time I did it, the stain did not come out. The second time I did it, the stain came out. Rashi says, "Va'avar al yedei ha'avar azu v'nasa ma'isadam shekein derech tam la'avor al yedei shiva samamanim." So also, what's interesting about this case over here is as follows: this stain, after you went ahead and you subjected it to the first cleansing process, it had the status of what? Of dye, because after all, it did not come out. Then what happened? You went ahead and you did it again. Right? You did it again, and it came out. Which means, Rabbi say the second time around, it has the status of what? Of dam. To which the Gemara says, therefore, taros of tahoros, any taros on there will be tar. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Am Rabbi Zera, lo shano ela taros shenasa ben techbos es rishon l'shnia. Rabbi says, this is pretty wild. So Rabbi Zera says, when do we say that the taros are tar? That's talking about the taros in between the first and second laundering. So we'll say, so now watch this. You went ahead, you have the garment with the stain. You launder it the first time with the 7 detergents. It does not come out. It does not come out. You use it as a tablecloth. You put the taras on top of it. Okay, good. For some reason, doesn't really matter why, you go ahead and you launder it again. You launder it again. And this time what? The stain comes out. So the Brice has said before that the taros are tahoros. Rabbi Zira says that's true regarding the taros that came in contact with the baget in between laundering 1 and 2. But any taros that came in contact with the baget after laundering 2, before the garment was taken to the mikvah, will be tamei. Pretty wild. About taros shenasu achar techbos hashnia, taros of tmeos. Why? Shari hikpid alav va'avar. Because here's what's interesting. The fact that you laundered that garment again, the fact that you laundered that garment again indicates to us that what? That there was a hakpada, right? And you considered that stain like blood, right? You considered that stain like blood. Look at that last Rashi. Shar hikpid alav, kishachazir vehaviran, when you went ahead and you laundered it a second time, gila daito. You revealed your intent. Shemakpid alav b'safek dam. That you're makpid. We'll say makpid means that you care about this, right? This is something that bothers you because you think in the back of your mind that it's still blood. Whereas the fact that you're laundering it a second time indicates to us what? That in your mind there's a chashash that it's blood. So we'll say, so to us we think to ourselves, no, I'm laundering it again. Why? Why? Because I just want the stain out. So as I said, obviously it's also reflective just of different laundering habits. So I say, so here the Gemara understands the fact that you're laundering it a second time, indicative of the fact that in your mind there is the possibility that this is still blood. Sharihikpid alav, again, so the fact that you're cleaning it again shows that you're makpid, that it still may be dam. Va'ava, Rashi says, Ayideha avarazu v'nasebo maise dam, shekein derech dam la'avar ayideh shiva saman. So we'll say, Vaharaya, what did you do when you cleaned your garment the second time? We'll say, how did you clean it? How did you clean it? Right? With the seven detergents. What are the seven detergents used for?
Dam.
So I'll say, so therefore, this is a wild case. Because understand what you have over here. This garment, right? With the kesem, I launder the garment, right? Seven samamanim. Because that's what you do in general when you have a kesem. Doesn't come out. Therefore, what does that tell me? It's dye. Fantastic. Let's have a picnic. I go ahead and use it as a tablecloth. Put the taras on top of it. Then what's happening over here? I'm bothered by this kesem. I'm bothered by it. So the Gemara says, you know why you're bothered by it? I'm going to analyze you a little bit. Get on the couch, right? The Talmudic couch. You know why you're bothered by it? Because deep down you think it might be dam. So what do? You go ahead and you clean it again with the same seven detergents. This time, it goes ahead and comes out. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera says over here, that any taurus that touched that garment after the second laundering, before it was taken to the mikvah, will be tmeos. Because something dramatic happened over here. The fact that you learned it again indicates to us that you were makbid on it, indicates to us that it was a suffik dam, and because it was a suffik dam, therefore again the taros will be tame. Amad Beis. Amali Rabbi Abba Rabbi Ashi, Midi Bikpeida Talya Milsa? I don't understand. So why do my personal hakpadas? So because I think that it might be dam, that actually impacts the status of the garment. And I was supposed to say, at the end of the day, I did my job with this garment. I laundered it with the seven detergents. The stain didn't come out. That's it. We should be done. Right? We should be done. The fact that I chose to launder it again, okay, that's my own thing. I don't want a garment with a stain on it. But now you're going to take my hakpadas, right, my mindset, and infuse them and create a reality of the garment based on my mindset. Look at Rashi. Midi back bikpeid l'talya milsa bitmiyah. Kevin the Tara Shavin Saim Tohoros, I'm a lav damhu. Achronos Vishum Kvedam. I thought I was supposed to listen to this. Shrabi Abba says, this is wild, because understand what's happened over here. The taras that you did, that touched the garment after the first laundering, are going to be totally fine. And now you're telling me that the taras that go ahead and touch the garment after the second laundering, before the garment is taken to the mikvah, will be tame. What changed? It's the same garment. So because in my mind, I'm thinking that it's still dam, that's going to change the reality of the garment. To which the Marsa Amalei in. Yeah, that is correct. Tisanya, Rabbi Chiya Omer, Dam Hanida, Vadai, Ma'avir Alav Zayin Samanu Mevatlo. So let's listen to this. The Gemara says as follows. If you have Dam Nida Vadai, so we'll say, this is talking about a case where there's a stain, but it's not a Shaila. We know ultimately what this is. So Ma'avir Alav Zayin Samanu Umevatlo. Ultimately, we go ahead and we pass over it. Seven salmonim and your mevatlot. Look at Rashi. Ma'avir alav zayin salmonim mevatlo. Va'afidu lo abar harehu batal b'tarhu. Hoyol ve'in adam makbid alav achar ha'avaras ha'salmonim mid'azali chazusa. So listen to this. So the Gemara now says something very interesting. I now have a stain that I know definitively is nida. Now, I remember again, I still have to go ahead and go through this process of cleaning it with the seven cleaning agents. Why? Because remember, what's the whole point of the Mishnah Bosei? That you have to be mevatel kesem before you're able to be metaher the beged. So now watch this case. I have a stain that I know is definitively dam nida. I clean it with the seven detergents. And it is tar, right? It is tar afterwards, right? Umevatlo. Va'amai. So why is that so? Ha dam nidahu. Now why is it bottle? After all, that is still dam nida. Alma bikpeid l'talya milsa. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So the Gemara's assumption over here is that even though that stain may still be there, right? In other words, that I will say, when we say ultimately again that the stain is removed, it's possible that the stain is removed. It's also possible that what? That Lamai says, just mida'azalei chazusar, as she says, the appearance is diminished. But the idea is, even though the stain is there, a person is no longer makbid about the stain like that. So because they're no longer makbid about a stain like that, whose appearance has been diminished in the garment, therefore what? The stain is batal in the garment. What do you see from here? That your personal hakpadas, right, your personal preferences absolutely play a role in the identity or status of the garment. Hakanami big paid the Talia Melsa. So to Rabbi say in this case over here that what? In this case over here that halacha lemaisa. That halacha lemaisa. I went ahead and I went out of my way to launder the garment a second time. Why am I laundering a garment a second time, Rabbi say? Why do you launder a garment a second time? Because it bothers me. Because it bothers me. And the Gemara understands over here that it's not bothering me because I don't like the look of it. What's really deep down bothering me? That I'm worried that it's a suffix dam. And because of that, the Gemara says, because now you're makbid on that, so I'll say, really, if we kind of turn this around, what the Gemara is saying is like this. What is, remember, the Mishnah tells me a fascinating idea, which is, if I have a garment that has a kesem, immersing that kesem in the mikvah is not enough. Rather, what has to happen? There has to be a bitul ha-kesem. You have to negate the kesem, be mevatel it. How are you mevatel the kesem? So you subject it to this seven detergent cleaning process, right? Once you do that, so one of two things are happening there. Either what happens, the kesem is totally removed, or what? If it's not totally removed, and these two words of Rashi are so important, azul lechazusa. Azul lechazusa means what? The appearance kind of goes away, which means it fades or diminishes. Why is the kesem then batel? The logic is because a person is no longer makbid. I'm not makbid on it. When I see that, I no longer see a kesem in the garment. I'm no longer makbid. Therefore, it's batel. Good to go to the mikvah. Therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, if there is a case where you would be makbid, like this case of Rabbi Zeira at the end, on the end of Amud Aleph, which is what? I cleaned it with the seven detergents. And what happened, Rabbi Hussein? It did not come out. Right? It did not come out. Now again, that's good news. Why didn't it come out? Because it's dye, it's not blood. I then go ahead and launder it again. Why am I laundering it again? You see, Chazal understand over here, people wouldn't launder it again if it was just dye. The reason I'm laundering it in is because I'm scared or I'm nervous that maybe it's really dumb. Once that's your hakpada, then your hakpadas, right? Your mindsets create realities. And that mindset creates a reality on this beged, that this beged may actually have a kesem of dam, and a reality to the point that what Rabbi say? That even if Tahoros were to touch that beged after the second laundering, before it was taken to the mikvah, then what? Then halacha lamaisa, they would become tamei. Rabbi say an incredible Musar Haskil. What's the Musar Haskil? What's the lesson? Your mindset creates realities. Right? The way you think and the way you see the world ultimately creates your reality. Well, so this is my simbachol yom. When I have a particular construct in my head, I see the world through that lens. I see people through that lens. Your inner reality shapes your external reality as well. Incredible. Says the Gemara. Next, Tnan Hasam. Hacharosim shenishtam shenban zav zav. Shebalu Mashkin. The most listening is an interesting case. You have an earthenware pot that a Zav used that absorbed liquids from a Zav. Now the easiest way to imagine this, Rashi says, is the Zav has an earthenware bedpan. Right? It's an earthenware bedpan. So what happens? So that bedpan absorbs his bodily fluids. Right? So that's the case over here. Now what happens? V'nafala avir hatanur, the bedpan falls into the oven. Right, falls into the oven. This is, by the way, preparing the food for the picnic with the tablecloth, right, that has the kesem on it. And it's not up to code, but okay, it's fine. So Gemara says, well, listen to this. V'naflu la'avir atanur. So let's say, so what's happening over here? So the vessel falls in to the airspace of the oven. I also remember again, the oven, the assumption also is earthenware. So remember again, earthenware, chares, an earthenware oven can become tameh through its airspace, right? Any earthenware utensil becomes tameh through its airspace, through the inside. So now I have the earthenware utensil that absorbed bodily fluids of a zav that falls into the avir of a tanur. V'husaka tanur, the oven is fired up. So what's the halacha? Hatanur tameh shesof mashkelotzeis. So we'll say in a case like this where the oven is fired up, we'll say what's going to happen? The heat is going to extract the liquids which are absorbed into the earthenware vessel. So therefore, again, the oven becomes tummy. Why? As a result, ultimately, again, of the liquids which come out of the earthenware vessel. I'm Reish Lakish. Lo shanu ela mashkin kalim. Reish Lakish says, when is that true? Only mashkim kalim. Now we'll say, now, what's mashkim kalim? Mashkin Kalim, if you look at Rashi, Lo Shanu Ella, Rashi says, Hadik Tani Husak in Lo Husak Lo, the Chosman Shein Nivlon, Becharos and Imitamin as Aviar Tanor, El Mashkin Kalin Shein Avatoma Kigon, Dimas Eno, Dama Gafaso, Omeira Glaim, the Tame Mace, Oud Sheretz, Afili Kishos. Well, listen to this. Sheish Lakish says, when do we say that it's only when the oven is fired up that ultimately, again, the liquids that are absorbed in the utensil are metame? That's when the liquids are what we call mashkin kalim, lower form tumah, the tears of a zav, right? Or for that matter, again, Rashi says over here, or the blood from his wound, right? Or ultimately, again, even urine, right? So we'll say, we'll leave urine as an aside for just a moment. Ava mashkin chamurin, and I will say, if it's talking about mashkin chamurin, which are the liquids, which have what we referred to before as the mayon, the liquids from a zav that really pool inside of him. Rashi says, kegon meiraglayim shazav, like the urine of a zav. Right? These are ma'ayonos. Afapi tame afapi shlohosakatanor. And we'll say they will be tame, even though what? The oven was not fired up. So Yesh Lakish says something quite amazing over here. Yesh Lakish says that halacha lemaisa, when do you need the oven to be fired up ultimately in order for the liquids inside of the kli to come out? That's only by mashkin kalin, right? Lower form tuma. But by mashkin chamurin, right, like the real bodily secretions of the zav that have the status of like the zav himself, then what? Even if the oven is not fired up, we view the liquids absorbed inside the kli as if they had already come out. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Echad mashkin kalin ve'echad mashkin chamurin im husakatan or in ilolo. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says, come on. This is not like a hocus pocus. Like this is heat extracts liquid. So if there's heat in the oven, then we assume that the earthenware utensil of the Zav exudes its liquid. If there's no heat, there's no chilik between mashkin kalim and mashkin chamur. Now, we'll say, now what Rabbi Yochanan really is discussing over here is the concept of what we call tuma balua. Right, they will say tuma balua means absorbed tuma. So in general, we said before, we've had this sugi before, that tuma balua, absorbed tuma, does not convey tuma. Right, if it's absorbed, it doesn't convey. It would have to go ahead and be present. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if it's in the kli, it's tuma balua. And that, irrespective of what type of liquid we're talking about, if it's absorbed inside of the kli, it is tuma balua. So it's Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan is Kashle Reish Lakish. Hit bilu va'asa al gabav toros. So listen to this. I immersed. This is the garment with the kesem. So we'll say I reverse the order over here. So I put it in the mikvah first. I used it as a tablecloth for taras. The heavier I love zayin samamonim. And ultimately, then I laundered it with the 7 detergents. Below avar, and the stain did not come out. So good news. Harez that seva. This shows me that it's dye, and therefore taros of tohoros. And therefore, I will say ultimately again, any taras that I put on top of that, ultimately again, are tahar, ve'in tzarech lahatbil. And ultimately again, you do not have to go ahead and immerse it again. Now, listen, I look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, taros of toros, I amrit bishlama balua shin yochol latzeis ala ideyad chaktar. So we'll say the fact over here that halacha lemaisa, we are makel with this stain, right? We are makel with this stain works if you hold that tuma balua is not tuma. Tuma absorbed tuma is not tuma. So Rabbi Yochanan says that's why over here halacha lemaisa, because this stain is absorbed inside of the garment, that's how you can be makel with it. So the Gemara says Amar Lei, Frush Reish Lakish responds, Hanach laksam dirabanan. Don't bring up ksamim, because ksamim ultimately again are drabanim. They have their own status. But one second, but we're going to say, forget about ksamim. What about dam nida vaday? Right, inach inami. So you could say ksamim is not a good raya because ksamim are suffic. Fine. What about dam nida vaday? Right, they both say, what happens in a case where let's say there's a stain on the garment and it's definitely dam nida? Now both say that is tuma balua. Right, that is an absorbed tuma. But yeah, what's the halacha? You have the ability to launder it 7 times, or I should say launder it with the 7 detergents, and you're mevatel it. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, to which Reish Lakish son back to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lo Shana, Rabbi Chia Menale, Rabbi did not include this Mishnah. Right, look at Rashi just a moment. Ma'avir alav, va'acha devadei damu, mitarinanu mishum denivla kolkach, Va'afa pish yachalatzes ayidet safun. Then I will say, what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to point out over here is that when something is absorbed, it doesn't have the status of full tumah. That's why you could be mevatel it even in this simple way. So this, there's a post, remember again, the point of contention over here is Reish Lakish is holding that when it comes to tumah chamura, right, like the liquids of the zav, if it's balua, it is still considered to be extant, right? It's still considered to be there. Rabbi Yochanan says balua is balua is balua, and therefore always treated more leniently. Whether it's a zav, whether it's nida, v'haraya, you have this garment that has definitive dam nida. Rabbi Yochanan says over here that you could just be mevatlet with the zayin samim on him. So I'm late to which Reish Lakish responds, Rabbi Lo Shana Rabbi Chiyah Mirale. Reish Lakish says, you're quoting from me from a brayso that was not included in the Mishnah. The fact that it was not included in the Mishnah indicates to us what? That ultimately, again, Rabbi did not include it. And if Rabbi did not include it, then where Rabbi Chiyah? Rabbi Chiyah is the Talmud of Rabbi. How would Rabbi Chiyah have the chutzpah to go ahead and teach it? Okay. Eisi Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. What's Rabbi Yochanan is another kashrut Reish Lakish. Revius dam shenivlo babayis. So, this is an interesting case. You have a revius of dam that was absorbed inside of the home. Inside, so can you imagine this? So you have a revius of dam, which I just want to point out, could convey, this is dam of a mace, convey tumas ohel. It's on the ground of the house. Then what happens? It gets absorbed into the floor of the house. So, what's the halacha? Habayis tamei. Va'amrilei, habayis tar. Some say the house is tamei, some say the house is tar. And good news, v'lo pligi, there's no machlokes. Habekelim d'meikara, habekelim d'basof. We'll say, when it's talking about a case, so we'll say, what's tamei? Before the blood gets absorbed, any utensils that are in the house with the dam become tamei al tumas ohel. But once the dam is absorbed into the ground, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, any utensils that are brought into the home do not contract tumas ohel. To which the Gemara says, Nivla biksus. What happens if halacha lemaisa, the blood goes in and gets absorbed into a garment of clothing? The yotze mimena revius dam, and you're able to extract the revius of dam ultimately from. I'm sorry, nivla biksus. So if it gets absorbed into a garment, imis kabesas viyotze mimena revius dam. If when you launder it, a revius of dam comes out of it, tmeya. Ultimately, again, it will be tamei. Ve'im lav tahora. And if not, ultimately, again, it'll be tar. Look at Rashi, I will say. Ve'im lav tahora. Actually, I'm sorry, not yet. We could look at it. Ve'im lav tahora. Ba'afagav d'revi'a shlema nivlaspo. Alma balua shen yocho lotzeis lehedyo. Ela ayidea tchak yocho. Da'idei tzafo nafka kule v'katani tar. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, unless you could extract that revi'as of dam from the garment ultimately remains tar. What does that teach you? That teaches you that what? Tuma balua, right? Absorbed tuma is not considered to be real tuma. I will say this is Rabbi Yochanan. Remember again, it's just trying to keep showing that no matter what type of tuma, if it's absorbed in something, it is not real until it is extracted. On Rav Kana, mikule revios shanukan. Shani dam tevusa dirabanan. So also Rav Kana said this is one of the coolest of revius of dam. This case is different because it's dam tevusa. Also, we'll stop over here, but dam tevusa is quite interesting. What's dam tevusa? Dam tevusa is a revius of blood that comes out from a person who is dying. So we'll say, so imagine the following situation. A person is dying, blood comes out of him. After he dies, we find the revius of dam by him. What's the safek? Did the dam come out before he died or after he died? If it came out before he died, that's obviously not metame. If it came out after he died, then ultimately again that would be tame. So we'll say, the Gemara is suggesting that's dan tevusa. So we'll say, just so what we're ending off over here, a fundamental machlokes, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. It manifests itself specifically in the case of where you have the Zav's bedpan that absorbed liquid from the Zav that falls into the interior of the oven. Reish Lakish says, Mashkin Kalin, lighter forms of Tumah, aren't problematic for the oven until the heat comes on. Mashkin Chamurin, higher forms like urine of the Zav, are considered to be as if they're out even before the heat comes on. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, only once there's heat do we view the liquids as which that they're out. What's their machlokes? Their machlokes is about Tumah Balua. Reish Lakish holds that Tumah Balua, absorbed Tumah, can be viewed as if it has already left the Kli, if it's a heightened form of Tumah. Rabbi Yochanan says, Tumah Balua is never significant. Tumah is never reckoned with until when? Until ultimately, again, is it extracted from that which it is absorbed in. We'll continue with the machlokes, Amir Tashem, tomorrow. I want to say tomorrow is a Sunday schedule, so davening is 7:15. So I guess daf will be about 8:15, 8:10.